This is the Tom Likas Show.
New York City subway system, the world's largest one.
Now, from exit 63 of the Long Island Expressway.
It's nuts!
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. 24/7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on our brand new free app. Get it at Google Play. Get it at the App Store. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. It's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. And here we are with another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, that is when Adam Sachs, a native of Long Island, he steps into the studio and gives you free legal advice this time around. He's criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, thanks for coming in.
Hello, Tom. What's going on?
Oh, just doing my thing here. Before we do anything, we have this guy on the phone, Mike in La Puente. And let me tell you about Mike. Mike came into his marriage with no kids, but he married somebody who had three kids. And then he went ahead and had two kids with her. Now, you've heard this guy on the show. He's been married 7 years, or at least he thought he was. He recently found out that his original divorce was actually not properly done. And so, legally, he's still married to wife number one. And now he's with, at least he believed he was with, wife number two. And now what you have with Mike, and Mike, I'm sure if you disagree with what I'm saying, you'll break in and you'll tell me. But and now what we have is Mike essentially is a hostage because now the wife, or whatever she is, you know, becoming very demanding. And telling him the, you know, how he's going to do things, what's going to be done, and when he can come and go, and things like that. And it sounds to me like Mike essentially doesn't know what to do. He says he knows he needs to save up for an attorney. But I think he thinks he's saving up for a divorce, and I think he's got bigger problems than that. If he's still married to the first wife, and he invalidated the marriage of the second woman that we're talking about here. So he's starting to ask me for advice that would definitely take a specialist, somebody who has a background in the law, and we just happen to have you in the other room, so I thought maybe it'd be a good idea for you to talk to Mike a little bit and help him get his priorities straight.
Absolutely. It's a crazy-sounding story. You know, this person that he's with obviously is going south, and he has her kids and his kids, so nice blended family, which is always a disaster. But, you know, if he was married, Tom, it sounds a little bit like the divorce he tried to do was one of those UPS store divorces or whatever. So if that didn't go through properly, then...
Well, we're assuming that, but let's ask Mike that question.
Sure.
Now, Mike, when your divorce did not go through, did you use LegalZoom or something? Did you have a friend fill out the papers? How did that happen?
No, Dad. I got really lazy and decided not to go and let the first wife do all the paperwork and get the divorce with the no-show.
So how do you know that she never did it right?
When I went to the courthouse to get paperwork, you know, the divorce had gone through and everything had gone into effect, and I'd gotten paperwork. And we had, like, new paperwork for the custody, and it was all done at the same time. So When I had seen my kid, and then I went to the courthouse to get paperwork so that I can try to get my visitation with my son, they told me that the divorce and the new court that ended up taking place several years after was voided out because she didn't complete the paperwork.
Uh-huh.
And all she needed to do was just sign a piece of paper, and she didn't sign it. Turned it in, and they could never get a hold of her.
Okay. Well, pretty irresponsible of her, and they're pretty irresponsible of you counting on her. So that has to be sorted out. But the bottom line is, your second spouse, which is what's called a putative spouse, is not your wife at all. You're still married to the first one, and you're a bigamist. And so you should call me off the air, and I'll help you sort this out. But it may paradoxically be a good thing, because it's going to make the second situation easier. You're not going to have to divorce her. You know, you're not married to her in the first place.
Okay.
That might
now, let me jump in here, Adam, because here's my question, okay? Wife number two, for lack of a better term, knows that our caller here, Mike, is in violation of the law.
Crazy.
Knows that he's a bigamist. And it's my belief, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, that part of the reason that Mike, you know, jumps when she barks is because he's afraid he's going to get in some kind of trouble.
Isn't that true love? She keeps him in the relationship under threat. That's lovely. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's no way, and you're obviously going to have to call her on that. I mean, I'm not really sure what she would do. I suppose she could go to the police and write a report that you're a bigamist. It's not a crime that people generally get tried and convicted of nowadays. But either way, you're going to need a lawyer. And I'll tell you something, a woman who has to keep you around by threatening you or hanging something over your head like that, that is not a woman who loves you, okay? That's a woman who's keeping you as a hostage. And I wouldn't stay for 30 seconds, seriously. That's definitely a situation worth running away from. You're also in the position of having taken on the parental responsibility of her children, even if you're not married to her legally. And that's dangerous because she could try to go after you for child support, even though they're not your kids. In the last News for Guys, you probably heard Gary talking about Kirk Kerkorian, who paid child support for years for a child that was not his, and that's the worst.
Does that count also if we're both working and we're paying like 50-50? If we separate, does that mean now I have to pay child support even though
it's a possibility. It depends on the overall picture, but typically yes. It's not just the work issue, it's also the custodial time and how it breaks down. And I don't know.
And by the way, we should speak of breaking things down. Mike has two kids with this woman, and she came in with three. Is there a possibility he would have to pay child support on five kids?
Of course. Absolutely. If he was doing the parenting thing on her three kids, I presume that their fathers are all deadbeats and disappeared and whatnot?
Yes.
How'd I guess? Isn't that great, Tom?
Of course.
You see who women like to have children with. So, of course, those three kids don't have anyone else. And how many years you've been with them? Multiple years.
So 3 years.
Good work. I think you better call me after the show. We got a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty unbelievable. You know,
yeah.
Tom, this is kind of more extreme, but, you know, we mentioned there are a lot of cases of people who have, like, a wife or whatever back in El Salvador in some foreign country. And they move to the United States, and they figure, you know, they're never going to go back there, and they get married again. And you talked about, I think there was a Cuban baseball player who did that or something?
Yeah, his name was Ray Sanchez. He played for the Mets.
There you go.
He came from Cuba. I think he floated over here on a raft or an inner tube or something.
Well,
and
he
thought he was never going to see his wife and kids again.
He figured, you know, that was it for Cuba, right?
I guess he did. They're not going to want you back once you escape like that.
Yes, little did he know that Obama is canceling all of that terrorist stuff, and now we're going to be friends with Cuba.
Yeah, and, well, this was a few years back, so we were not going to be friends at any time in the near future back then, but there you go.
Well, there's certainly instances, and I'm telling you, if you're already married, as this gentleman here is, and he didn't complete his divorce, so he's, you know, telling me he's still married, I'd have to double-check that with the paperwork. But that means that his second marriage never happened. But there are still a lot of ramifications and so forth, and it's still possible, certainly for child support, including the kids he had plus the kids she had already from other men. And it's even possible under certain circumstances they call her the putative spouse, even though she wasn't the legal spouse, and he could still end up having to pay alimony and so forth. So it's a nice mess, and he's going to need a lawyer to figure it out.
Wow. All right, well, we'll put Dean on the phone, and Dean will get him in touch with you. All right, you are here as criminal defense attorney, Adam Sachs. Of course, I figured this kind of fit only because bigamy's a crime.
A little bit.
And this guy is in This guy's in real trouble.
One of the things that you talked about in the past, Tom, which I really like, is something called frog soup. And it's amazing how the things that you come up with, Tom, often apply to so many other things. And frog soup, the way that you described it in the past as part of Lycus 101, was, you know, where as the man, you know, things gradually got hotter and hotter until you turned into soup and you didn't notice it because the woman was sort of, you know, doing the gradual approach. But, you know, what also happens in society, and this is very true of criminal law, is things that happen gradually and people lose their rights. Now, you know, there have been analyses of the First Amendment that suggested that the First Amendment was absolute. I mean, no law regarding freedom of speech. Then they start to carve out, you know, fighting words and hate speech. And then you see what happens where you have the FCC, which has the right to regulate what's on the airwaves because we want to make television and radio family friendly, or maybe, you know, not until 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. And, you know, there were a lot of arbitrary things like, you know, the words you could say. I remember Howard Stern always pushed this, you know, that you could say bitch, but you couldn't say asshole or something ridiculous like that.
Right.
I mean, there's really no reason for that if you think about it, you know. There's no reason that one is worse than the other or whatever. You know, Carlin talked about the 7 dirty words, and that actually was a Supreme Court case, you know, Pacifica. But when you look at how things are now, it's the same thing in the criminal law. Now, one of the things that, you know, this is something that's so clear with this lady that thinks that she's black or, you know, she made herself to be black or whatever. I mean, you know, they put her on the Today Show and people are talking about her. But what you don't, you know, want to just say because it's like politically incorrect, which, by the way, is another form of limitation on free speech, things that you're not supposed to say. But when you talk about this woman, I mean, you know, does anyone want to say the truth that, you know, she's insane? As the British would say, she's barking mad. I mean, she's insane, Tom. You realize that, of course, right? Just my opinion.
Well, that's what I think, but I'm amazed how many people have bought her explanation.
Yeah, of course.
First, she was apparently lying and saying she was black. Later, she said she identifies as black when she got caught.
Okay, well, she's also now saying, apparently, I just read an article, that those two people that interview that are her parents, she's saying she's not so sure that those are really her parents. They may not be. And there's never been a DNA test done. So she's out to lunch. And I know we always try to treat guests well on this show. And I brought guests on, and you had this lady, Joyce Short, last week or whatever.
Yeah.
But she was insane also, okay? Just my opinion. And one of the underpinnings, which kind of got mentioned very briefly, and it didn't really go on. You were on with her, I think, for two segments, 2 hours, you know? And one of the things that you listened to, if you were, you know, really paying attention, was that this had happened to her. And what she was talking about is that somehow she had been raped by fraud, and that she had been involved with a guy who misrepresented himself to her. And, you know, women are so vindictive. What I see today in the criminal law and also with family law and restraining orders, you know, people used to just break up, Tom. Now a woman isn't satisfied just breaking up with you. She's got to get a restraining order. She's got to take you to court and really humiliate you, you know? And when you talk about this woman, this Short, and what she was talking about, and this is that frog soup thing, where, you know, you have freedom of speech, and then we say, well, but, you know, when you tell the woman that you're a doctor or a race car driver, and, you know, and she sleeps with you, and then she feels stupid about it later, it's like that thing where the woman wakes up the next morning, and it wasn't rape, but she regrets it, you know? And then she starts thinking, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I was forced. And her girlfriends are encouraging her, and the campus, you know, PC feminist, feminazi support group is telling her, you know, you were coerced. You're the victim. And there's a society that wants, you know, her to be the victim. You have this slipping, sliding thing. And what I really felt with Short is that she really felt wronged by this guy, and she came to believe over time that he ought to go to jail for what he did to her. Now, I hate my enemies, and I'd like to see them suffer. But if you gave the power of a regular person like the king to say that guy screwed me over in business or whatever, you know, off with his head, put him in jail. That's like the Queen and Alice and the Looking Glass, you know. And if you look at the way women take advantage of the system, listen to this gentleman that you brought on just before on the show. I mean, he is actually living with a woman. He's telling her he wants to leave. He's unhappy. And she's threatening him. She has something on him. It's like she knows about it, where the bodies are buried or whatever. I've seen women who know what the husband did wrong with the IRS on his taxes, or that he did things wrong in business, or he lied or whatever. And she's saying to him, you better stay with me, because if you leave me, I'm going to, you know, use the info to put you in jail or to destroy you or whatever. And to me, I think that's this slipping, sliding thing where you're taking essentially routine behavior. I mean, this is straight from Chris Rock, Tom, but, you know, he said, like, he was talking about, at the time it was Bill Clinton, I think, but what man doesn't lie to get pussy, okay? Wake up, okay? Please. And the woman almost wants you to lie to her, you know? She starts telling you, like you always talk about, Tom, how, you know, she really wants to meet a doctor, you know, she wants to meet a successful doctor. And you're sitting there, it kind of puts you on the spot, you know? So you tell her, well, I'm a doctor, you know? It's almost like a joke. It's like, you know,
right.
I mean, you're essentially feeding the lion the steak, you know? And, you know, after the woman said it to you three or four times, it's funny for me because I really am a lawyer, right? And I've said to women that were telling me, you know, they really want a professional guy or something. And I say, well, I'm an attorney. And they immediately look at me and they go, no, you're not. You're a liar, you know?
Right.
And I pull out my card and they say, oh, yeah, well, that's a fake card. Anyone can make cards, you know? I mean, you poison the well, Tom, you know?
Yes.
But the thing that we're doing, and this is where political correctness comes in, you know, you're trying to criminalize routine behavior. And fundamentally, this is when they talk about, like, female safe spaces and all this. What we're afraid of, which is so, like, important today, supposedly, is not offending anyone, and especially not offending the tender sensibilities of a woman. Now, on the one hand, we're saying how women are equal, and they can do everything a man can do, and they have all the rights. But on the other hand, if you tell an off-color joke at work, she's going to take you into the human resources department and, you know, have you screwed. There was something I put on my website, on my Facebook today, really funny. This is from the newspaper, I'm not sure where, but it actually was a thing where they were showing police reports, and a woman reported that a man said hello to her in the park. Okay?
So in other words, I saw that.
Yeah, right?
He was eye raping her.
Yes, by the way, I've heard that now. They call it stare rape.
And
well, listen, you know, when you fuck with words, they lose their meaning after a while. And, you know, rape, theoretically, is a horrible crime, you know. If you think about women that you care about, your mother, your sister, your wife, whoever, you know, being raped, I mean, that's a horrible thing to happen to a woman. And I think, and I'm sure you agree, Tom, that someone who does that, you know, should get the max, go to jail forever. No problem.
Of course.
I, yeah. If I was sitting on that jury, I would vote to convict. I don't have any problem. Give them 25 years. But, you know, the word gets changed. When I was a teenager, there was a growing escalation of what they call date rape, which is when it wasn't a stranger who jumped out from behind the bushes or something and grabbed a woman. Now it's a woman who went on a date, maybe went back to the guy's place, maybe got into bed with him, and then somewhere, you know, changed her mind, or there was a miscommunication or whatever. And now when you're talking about rape by fraud, and now you're talking about stare rape, okay, where literally this guy, you know, I think it's perfectly courteous. I've been, you know, outdoors, you say hello to someone, you know, you see a woman kind of makes eye contact, you say hello to her. And apparently, that's more than enough for her to go to the police and write a complaint against you. And, you know, that goes back to this thing of, you know, if the woman was attracted to you, then it's okay that you followed her. We've seen this in lots of movies. If you look at a lot of romantic comedies, men are doing things in the movies that would be stalking, except the woman likes it because she likes the guy. On the other hand, if she didn't like the guy, then she calls 911 and has him arrested for rape or whatever. And that word has gotten loose. And what Short was talking about, I think fundamentally, was the basic female thinking of lack of responsibility, where she, instead of saying, honestly, you know, I'm an idiot, and I have women call me like this all the time, you know, instead of saying, I'm an idiot, and I got involved with a scumbag, and I had a child with him, and my life is ruined, and, you know, I had all the red flags in the world, but I ignored them. The woman says, no, no, I'm an innocent virgin, and he tricked me. And even if that was true, you say, well, okay, he lied to you. He said he was a doctor. He really wasn't. Okay, fine. But then there's the escalation, which is that society should intervene, and that that should be a prosecutable offense, where this guy should be literally arrested by the police, put on trial, and sent to prison for 20 years because, as Short said like 10 times, was penetration by trick or penetration by fraud or whatever. So it's always the woman who's the victim. She was telling you, Tom, when you were interviewing her, how it was all gender neutral. But we know what bullshit that is. If you look at the state of things today with restraining orders, always against men. Always against
men. Well, it's like the death penalty is gender neutral, too. And how many women get the death penalty?
By the way, only one, Tom, and that's the one serial killer there ever was that Warmus, who was played by Charlize Theron in that film, Monster.
Yeah.
I believe she's one of the only women in Florida to ever get the death sentence, if not the only one. Maybe Dino can check that. But if you count the total number of women to get the death sentence, and counting the worst states like Florida and Texas and whatnot that give it the most, we're talking less than a dozen, if I'm not mistaken. And there have been hundreds and thousands of men that get the death sentence and are on death row. So the whole conversation is nonsense. And we've seen time and time again that when the teacher in his 20s has an affair with a 16-year-old student, he gets, you know, 15 years in prison. And when it's the other way, the very attractive woman teacher screws her 12-year-old student or whatever, you know, everyone says he's lucky, and she gets a little, you know, slap on the wrist, you know, 3 years probation, that sort of thing. They say, oh, it would be horrible to put her in jail because she's a mother. Oh, no. You know, so when you talk about the definitions of things, I mean, again, the gentleman that called at the beginning of the hour was talking about bigamy. Now, bigamy was a real offense at one time. And I saw some fascinating things they were showing in Europe and so forth, that men, you know, you didn't have divorce like you have now. It wasn't really possible in the same way. And guys literally would just be with this bitch wife, driving them crazy with kids they couldn't afford and all this other stuff. And they just wouldn't come home from work one day. And they would get on a ship, and they'd go to Spain, or they'd go to America, or they would just move to a different part of the country and assume a new identity, get remarried, and start again. And, you know, no one ever even knew what happened to him. He just disappeared. And, you know, that was, you know, a crime, and that was punishable very seriously as felonies, and, you know, most felonies in old Europe were punishable by death. But the reality is that everything today, everything is diluted. And I think that's something that we should really be afraid of. You know, when I talk to guys and they say to me, I can't understand, you know, how this happened, you know, why it happened to me. My wife started pushing me and she attacked me and I just grabbed her wrists. Now, you know, when someone's coming at you with their hands, especially a woman that has nails, you know, who's gearing them towards your face to scratch out your eyes, it's a very natural reflex, and I don't think it's attacking. It's very defensive to grab their wrists, you know, especially, you know, if you can hold their wrists, you can stop them and shake them a little and say, what are you doing? Stop it. You're hurting me, you know. And the classic move is that the police come and they arrest the guy because the woman has bruises on her wrists. Where he squeezed. When he grabbed her wrists, he made little contusions. And so she has little marks in black and blue around her wrists, and therefore he's the one who injured her. You know, that's a fascinating approach. It's unbelievable. And, you know, what I've seen, and I have a case now I mentioned before in family law, which became a criminal case, where the mother, with no cost to herself, you know, makes up this accusation against the father that he's molesting the kids, And the justice system goes crazy. It goes crazy. Everyone's hysterical. Oh, my God. Have to protect the children, you know. And they have all this money coming in from the federal government to do investigations and to protect children. And so the net effect of it is that mother's lie carries a lot of weight. The father doesn't get to see his kids for a really long time. He gets put on trial. Hopefully he's found not guilty. But ultimately his relationship and the whole situation is disrupted with his children. And that's the whole intention of the mother. She pays no cost. In the end, maybe it gets thrown out or whatever. And there's no effect to her. She doesn't pay any price for it. It's very easy, as I said also, for this Joy Short to, you know, go to the police to write this guy up. And they were carrying on. She was saying how there's a law in New Jersey or something. I think she's completely misinterpreted it.
No, they're trying to make a law. And she has got some state assemblyman or some state senator to sign on for this.
Well,
that's what she's talking about. The law doesn't exist yet.
She's delusional, okay? And the reality is, and people should remember this, that the government cannot solve all our problems, okay? And you can't make laws to fix everything and to fix human mistakes and human pathologies. And I could really see her wanting to get revenge on this guy that fucked her over, and lots of women feel screwed over by men, and, you know, pressing charges and going to court and doing this whole crazy thing. There's no way a law like that is going to stick. There's no way. It's going to go to the Supreme Court and it's going to be overturned because it doesn't make sense. And there's a limit. And women truly believe that they're little flowers. And while they're busy screwing us over, that's okay. But if one of us screws one of them over, and the most savage thing you can do to a woman that a woman will never forgive is if you hurt her feelings, okay? So if there was a law that, you know, women could press charges when their feelings are hurt, they would do it. And the way that it's manifest today is the false claims, the restraining orders, all this other stuff that comes up, I'm sorry to say, so commonly, the guys don't even realize it. And here's a guy who's being compelled to stay with a woman that he wants to leave because she's threatening him with criminal prosecution. I mean, when you think of the basis of relationships and people that are supposed to love each other, you know, it's psychotic. It's psychotic. You know, they talk about cheaper to keep her. You know, and we had that song Gary found last week or whatever.
Right.
That, you know, Chris Rock, his wife is getting divorced from him now, and she's demanding $35 million, okay? You've got to be kidding me. Seriously, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, you know, we talked about that Russian guy with $7 billion. I mean, leave that. Chris Rock's someone I can relate to, okay? He's worked his whole life. He's done stand-up. He's done movies, okay? Who the hell is she? I've never seen her in anything, okay? And here, her way of being spiteful, okay, is going to be to give him a hard time with his kids, to teach the kids to hate their father, your father's an asshole, and to take his money. And not just half, which is $35 million, that's ridiculous, but as much as possible. Now, if someone who's a billionaire, like Kerkorkian, okay, you know, with access to real lawyers, and I remember seeing this case going on in downtown L.A. court, can you imagine, okay, he ended up paying $100,000 a month in child support for a child that wasn't even his.
Yeah,
okay?
And no doubt he was afraid that she was going to spin the wheel of fortune and try to get money by going to court, and he just didn't want the hassle of having to go to court.
But she pressed it and pressed it, and she was demanding more. She was always pressing for more, and she ultimately lost, by the way. But when you think about the nerve that a woman has, you know, wouldn't you be ashamed? It's like she's going into court and she's literally saying, yeah, I cheated on him. I got pregnant by some other guy, but that doesn't matter. I have no shame. I want to get as much money as I can. And even though he's not the father and I'm a whore, I want to get what's coming to me, which I don't even know what that means. It's amazing that we live in a world that allows that to go on. And you cannot give these tools. If anything, a lot of what's going on now has to be pared down. It has to be calmed down. It's out of control. You know, they have this ceremony on the White House lawn with Joe Biden, the vice president, strengthening VAWA, which is the Violence Against Women Act. And that was like last year. and they made it even more strict, and everyone's applauding, and they're saying what a success it is. Well, the truth of the matter is that domestic violence was supposed to be neutral, and all the statistics show that it's 50-50, that men and women are both violent towards one another in equal ranges, okay? And so why the Violence Against Women Act? That suggests that the only people that need to be protected are women. And when a man goes to the police, and this has been shown, and this happens in homosexual relationships and straight relationships, men are not taken seriously in these contexts. And to listen to these people saying, what do we need? We need more laws. And these universities now, Tom, are throwing students out, men that are accused of rape. You know, just an accusation, no lawyer, no hearing, the guy's out. And this is happening all over the place. And if anything, it's getting stronger. And so guys have got to be aware of this, and we got to start fighting back. It's not funny.
There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I've been talking about these things on the radio for two decades. And, you know, a lot of guys just don't want to deal with it. Or they are pussies. Or they don't think they have any chance of winning, so they don't try.
Tom, if a woman threatened you like this and said to you, you know, whatever the story is, bullshit, whatever. I know you're a bigamist, okay? And if you try to leave, I'm going to report you. I'm going to have you arrested. Would you tolerate that for 30 seconds?
Of course not.
I mean, would you be able to...
I told you. I had someone tell me they were going to ruin my career. Ruin my career.
That's the last conversation I'd ever have with that person.
And just to keep me in a relationship, she's going to ruin my career. Doesn't that make you want to stay?
I don't understand the logic in that, you know? I mean, seriously, that undermines all trust, all confidences that you have. You know, she's talking about ruining your life or ruining your career or whatever. You know how many people have called me, men particularly, that have had the police over to their house multiple times? That every time they get into a fight, the woman calls 911, and then the guy gets arrested, and then 2 weeks later he's back with her or whatever? You got to be kidding me. If 911 is your area code, man, something's wrong.
Yep. We're going to take a break here, Adam. We have calls coming in, and we want to get to them. Adam Sachs, of course, in studio for a bonus hour, as he is every Tuesday, beginning at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You can talk to Adam and get free legal advice right now if you call this number. It's 901-3000-TOM. Look at those phones. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslow Insurance. COSTLO. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslow since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslow. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslow has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslowInsurance.com today. Coslow. COSTLO.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24/7. Listen now, or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee on my fucking rug. Find us at newnormalrock.com and apps like TuneIn. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no broads, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug.
New normal rock.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years. Using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and could tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
Hammer time.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From a clover leaf at exit 63 of the Long Island Expressway. Here we are with our bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs and your phone calls at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. 901-3000-866. Here is D in Oklahoma City. D, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs.
Hey, what's going on, Tom and Adam? How are you guys doing?
Doing okay.
Good. Well, I'm not a first-time caller, but I really wanted to call Adam Sachs today. I left him an email last week, but given a few days, he may have read it. But this situation is probably a little complicated, but I'm going to give a short version. I probably went through probably the most traumatic situation in my life the last probably month and a half. So I need your advice. I think I'm going through an issue that may have some double jeopardy involved. I lived in Los Angeles for about 5 years, and I, for my job, moved out to Dallas, Texas, to work. So I left my car in Los Angeles, so I rented a vehicle. I had been renting vehicles, actually, for the first 6 months or so I was there. Finally, I rented a vehicle and got a long-term deal with them, and they were just going to be swiping my card every week if I renewed it. I went to Left Field to change my credit card information 1 week, and they swiped it and thought everything was fine. Took off a few days, drove to Oklahoma City, where I'm originally from, to visit my family, got pulled over for speeding. Cops said he was just going to give me a warning, was writing out the warning, and then all of a sudden came back and said, hey, this car's reported stolen. He wasn't startled. He didn't pull his gun at the felony stop or anything like that. He just said, let me double check this, because I gave him, you know, my rental agreement and everything. And, you know, obviously he wasn't threatened by me, and he was just going to write me a warning. Come back. They did report the car stolen. So here I'm arrested outside, probably about an hour outside of Oklahoma City. I go to jail. I'm arrested. I bond out, get an attorney, find out that they said I missed a few payments. So I get an attorney. She's supposed to be working on getting this all squared away. Now, this happened in February of 2014, so this is about a year and 3 months or so ago. So we had a lot of continuances. She's still trying to get the information from the rental car company, see if we can get the payments that I owed, you know, paid, and then the charges dropped. Because at this point, I really didn't know exactly how much I owed, because I was doing expense reports and it looked like payments were paid. But come to find out, there were some payments missing. We don't know exactly how much at this point. Nonetheless, we're going through, you know, that process. Now, let's fast forward to April 2015. I had taken a leave of absence for some medical reasons, so I'm in Oklahoma City, because I was in Dallas, Oklahoma City, visiting my family again. I'm driving my parents around because we're going to my niece's recital. We're basically a block away from my parents' house. Get pulled over from a cop, a local cop in Oklahoma City, because a headlight was out on their vehicle. I gave him my license, no problem. He was just going to just let me know. I don't know why he ran my license when I just want to tell him the headlights was out. And he knew that we were right a block away from the house. But comes back, I had an open warrant out of Dallas, Texas. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Now I'm 42 years of age. I've never been arrested once in my life. And here is twice I've been arrested in less than a year and a half. I'm confused. I'm like, he says, for a larceny charge. I'm like, I've never stolen anything in my life. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, well, I'm just telling you, you got to take you down to the county. Now, I'm giving you the short version because I'm trying to get your advice for it. I get down to the county. They pull the warrant, it says that it is from the rental car company, and I'm not using the name for a reason. It says it's from the rental car company saying that I owe them an amount of money. And I told the officer, I said, look up this open case in, you know, Oklahoma already. This is an open case. I'm already dealing with this. Since February 2014, he opened it up. He said, yeah, this looks like the same thing. But since you rented that car to Dallas, I guess they're charging you in Dallas too. So here I am arrested in Oklahoma for the same thing that I was arrested for in Oklahoma before, but they want to extradite me back to Texas. So I'm completely confused. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning at this point. I can't get in touch with my attorney, so, you know, I'm just at a loss. I'm in a holding cell for about 30 hours before I can even get access to a phone. No joke. I had no access phone for 30 hours. I finally got a phone, called my parents to contact my attorney and let them know that this was the same case that I was already charged with. You know, let's get this, you know, just find out what's happened. I've already, you know, why am I arrested twice for the same thing? Finally, I go see a judge that morning when I was arrested for the signed extradition papers to go to Texas. Now, I refused to sign them because I thought that once my attorney got involved that she would go ahead and just see that this was a mistake, get in touch with the DAs involved, and get these dismissed, you know, and whatnot. She told me, yes, don't worry about it. Don't sign it. We're going to go ahead and get this signed, get this handled. Now, skipping through all the crap, this went on for 30 days. I was stuck in Oklahoma County Jail for 30 days. My attorney went MIA. I'm calling her. My parents are calling her. I got my brother. Everybody. She just kept saying, you know, she would return a phone call maybe once. And I've paid her. I've retained her because she's been my attorney for a year and a half, mind you, since February.
Sorry. Why did you use a woman lawyer?
Well,
I mean, seriously, are you kidding me?
Believe me, this is a mistake that I'm learning. I mean, again, she was a referral because I've never had to really use an attorney before. I was kind of like dumbfounded at that situation. I just wanted to kind of get the case handled and get somebody to look at it. But you're absolutely correct. I mean, I'm not necessarily sexist, but you're absolutely right. She has cost me a lot of time, a lot, it's been unreal. I mean, I know that you're asking me that particular reason why, but it seems pretty interesting that I was charged in two states for the same crime. What happened eventually after about 30 days of being in Oklahoma County, I finally got in touch with someone that let me sign the extradition, because they were going to just keep me there for basically 3 months. And then finally extradited me to Texas. I thought that she was going to get it canceled, you know, or dismissed or whatnot. I finally get to Texas. The marshal who came and picked me up and said, man, this is ridiculous. Your attorney should have handled this. This is not a big deal. You don't have a record. You know, this is really a civil case that turned into a criminal case because you didn't pay what you owed. And, you know, and this has been open for months. And I was like, well, I didn't know. I didn't know that it was even possible I could be charged with the case in Texas as well. You know, when I already was charged in Oklahoma for the unauthorized use of a vehicle, you know, whatnot, and I'm handling that through the rental car company. He said, just listen, just get down there, you know, bond out, which the bond was ridiculously low. I bonded out of Texas, got back to Oklahoma. This just happened. We're talking about I just got out like a week ago. So, now I'm trying to figure out what to do. I basically have two cases, one in Oklahoma, for the same case, unauthorized use of a vehicle, and then they charged me with the theft of service in Texas for the money that I owe the rental car company. But it's the same case. It's and here I am, you know, like completely dumbfounded on what to do. And you're absolutely right. That's probably my biggest mistake by hiring a woman lawyer, for one. But I thought it was a pretty simple case. Obviously not, because I was in jail for close to 35 days or so.
All right. Well, one of the good things that, you know, I try to do, which is really a big deal, and Tom talks about this in my advertising, is I give people my cell phone number.
Okay.
One of the classic things that is said, it's kind of a joke line, is I want to fire my lawyer, but I can't get him on the phone, you know?
Right.
And in your experience, obviously, you have this lawyer who obviously, I'm sorry to say, doesn't care about you. That you were in this holding tank for 30 days and you couldn't find her or you didn't know what the story was. And that's pretty classic behavior. And I've gone batshit hysterical to the jails to get my clients out of jail at 2 in the morning and so forth. And I've, you know, worked on the bondsman, you know, to make sure the client didn't spend an extra minute incarcerated or, you know, in these situations and so forth. It's very important to me. And, you know, you have to develop a relationship with your lawyer. You know, there are a lot of people that tell me this awful story. And I say, you know, well, why did all these things happen with your lawyer? How did you find the lawyer? And they'll tell me, you know, the lawyer was a real estate lawyer who was doing me a favor on a criminal case. Or the lawyer, I picked the lawyer because I called five lawyers and that one was the cheapest, you know. So they chose a lawyer from the lowest price lawyer or something like that.
Right.
I mean, you know, you can't underestimate the importance of the relationship that you have with your lawyer. And, you know, it doesn't have to be me, but I mean, when you first talk to your lawyer and so forth, you know, do you trust the person? Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel that they're going to do a good job for you? You know, it really does make a difference. And, you know, personalities clash. You know, some people, you know, see lawyers in different ways. There are some people that hire a lawyer who's really friendly and they like that, but then he's friendly in court and he does a really bad job, you know. You need someone who's tough. But at the same time, you know, you have to have a relationship where your lawyer is responsive. And it looks like your case, obviously, is two states, and it keeps getting more and more complicated and more ridiculous and out of hand. It sounds like a lot of the things you're talking about could have been resolved, you know, with a couple of phone calls.
Yeah.
I mean, this rent-a-company obviously reported the car stolen because I guess the car didn't process or whatever. And, you know, probably you do owe them some money. But, you know, the fact that it escalated to this criminal thing, you know, if you were my client, I would have made a few phone calls and I would have gotten this resolved. It's nonsense.
Well, that's
know?
Exactly what the marshal said.
It's not the marshal. It's your lawyer, this woman lawyer you hired that didn't follow through.
Right.
It wasn't
absolutely.
Just screwing around in Oklahoma. She needed to actually call the company and say, listen, how many payments were missed? How much does he owe you? We're going to mail you a check today. You know?
Right.
That would have been 5 minutes or 10 minutes of work. It's a joke that wasn't done. And that's what's, you know, it sort of had this ripple effect in your life, and I'm really sorry about that. But I'm not trying to blame you as, you know, blame the victim, but you have to recognize that when you hire someone, they're supposed to do a certain job for you. And it's very clear pretty early on that this woman wasn't doing a good job, and so you should have replaced her.
Right. I guess more so, I mean, that's absolutely obvious. More so, I guess my question is how was it possible that I was charged in the state of Oklahoma because the car's reported stolen, and since the investigation went along, that there was an open warrant for me in Texas as well for the same case? Can that happen?
Yes, of course. It seems like maybe the company, the rent-a-company was a Texas company. They knew you had been in Texas or something. Yeah, it was rented from Texas. So, you know, there was one case in Texas and one obviously the other state, Oklahoma. But, you know, it's also your responsibility to make sure your bills get paid.
Right, absolutely.
I got a replacement on my American Express card because my card was, you know, someone stole the number or something. And one of the first things I had to do was I had to call all of the companies that use my card automatically, you know, every month to charge things, you know, repetitive charges. And so, you know, I had to, you know, tell everyone I had this new card and the old card was no longer valid. And it seems to me that that was your responsibility. You needed to get back to this rent-a-company and tell them that you had a different card, that the other card wasn't going to go through or whatever. And it seems to me like you just didn't bother to do that. And that's part of the problem.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, I take blame for,
no,
you
I'm
know.
Not trying to, you know, blame you just specifically, but I'm saying they must have been very frustrated to go as far as to report the car stolen. And maybe they were trying to call you and you didn't give them your up-to-date phone number. So they didn't know what your story was. They thought you were blowing them off. And that's why that's why your lawyer, this is the key point. Your lawyer had to hit the ground running and take care of this immediately when you first hired her. And a woman lawyer is never, are you listening? Never, ever going to do that. Okay?
Well, I learned the hard way, and it's still ongoing. I mean, of course, you know, I'm going to make sure the payment is paid, and I think I can probably get the charges dismissed. But here we are, you know, out of money, bonding out of two states, you know, and paying for that retainer of attorney, and I'm going to have to get another attorney. And, you know, it's just a lot that's going on for basically a menial amount of money. I think it's like maybe less than $1,000, you know. that they added with late fees and stuff, you know, and here I am, you know, never been arrested ever in my life. I mean, but again, I just wanted to get your take on it, and I agree, and I understand, and I'm just going to have to deal with it the best way I can, and hopefully it'll all be over here pretty soon.
All right, well, good luck to you.
Good luck, D. Thank you for the call. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with Adam Sachs. We'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam if you want to. Take another call or two here coming up. Our phone number, if you want to talk with Adam, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs in studio right now, 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Let's talk about Harry's and Harry's.com. You know, the guy who started Harry's, they are disruptors. We love disruptors. We are disruptors. We appreciate when we see what they're up to. In this case, these two guys who started Harry's, they saw an opportunity with shaving. They saw that people were paying through the nose for what is not quite a monopoly, but it's up there. And the fact is that you can make great blades. You can make them for less. There's got to be a better way, they thought. So they scoured the world, and they found a century-old blade factory in Germany where fine razor blades have been crafted for decades, over 100 years, in fact. They bought that factory, eliminated the middleman, and then you are the beneficiary because Harry's could get those blades right to your door. For a fraction of what you've been paying. And with Father's Day coming up, let's be creative with a gift for your dad. How about a gift that is reasonably priced, that your dad is going to love? He'll never have to think about buying razor blades again. You get your dad a subscription to Harry's Blades. Now, here's how it works, okay? This subscription will send those high-quality razor blades to your dad's door for as little as $3 a month. The shipments are timed according to your dad's shaving routine. He'll never run out of blades. Now, you know, your dad can modify or cancel the shave plan at any time, and these blades come right to his door. What a great gift, okay? Stress-free, reasonably priced, no lines, no hassle. And now for Father's Day, listeners like you can get $5 off your first shave plan order with my code, LIKASDAD. L-E-Y-K-I-S, Dad. Sign your dad up for his very own shave plan and do one for yourself while you're at it and save $5 with my code, Likas, Dad. All right, it's a great gift. Your dad is going to love it. And you get the convenience, the ease of ordering. It just takes a couple of minutes and you are done. But don't wait because Wednesday, the 17th of June, is the very last day you can order your Father's Day set and get it in time for the holiday. So you got to order right now. Now, Harry's Shave Plan already gives you a great value in all your shaving needs. And listeners like you, my listeners, can get additional savings when you use my code LIKASDAD. Go to Harry's.com. Enter my code LEYKIS. Dad at checkout and get $5 off your first shipment when you sign Dad up for a shave plan. That's right. Go use my code LIKASDAD and save $5 on a gift that will last a lifetime. It's Harry's.com. The code is LIKASDAD at checkout and give the gift of a better shave.
Hey, bitches, this is Manju. If you missed the Getty and Dino show, show 600, you missed this.
Satisfy me, don't deny me one more time.
It was like sun and the sun tonight.
Congratulations!
Thank you!
The king of cream.
Yeah. There he is.
King of cream.
Are you going to turn her over and eat her?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Congratulations, thank you!
The Getty and Dino show, go to GettyandDino.com.
Devin Bronson is back with us to talk about the black box, but this time, instead of him talking about it or my talking about it. Many P1 listeners like you have been writing to Devin and the folks at BN Audio to tell them how happy they are with the Black Box. What are people saying?
Yeah, the email response has been great, and I wanted to share a few of those with you today. One was from Robert in Escondido. He wrote, "After plugging my iPod into the Black Box, my ears were very pleased. Thank you for a great product and exceptional service." We love that. Next was Stephen Kurtz, wrote us, "My neighbors hate me now." That was good.
That's how you know it's good.
Yep, he's using it. Next was from Matt Hardy in Maui, out in Hawaii. He bought three of these from us. He wrote, "I am blown away. I cannot believe the sound that came out of such a small box."
Now, this is very exciting. If someone listening now has been turned on by hearing what other P1s are saying, how do they get a Black Box?
They can go to our website. It's bnaudio.com, and they can enter the promo code Tom in their checkout and get 20% off.
Don't take my word for it. Take the word of other satisfied P1 listeners. People are buying that Black Box like crazy. Just go to bnaudio.com, enter the promo code Tom, and get 20% off. You're going to love the Black Box.
Hammer time.
The bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show continues at 901-3000-TOM. With criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I love, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Did you get the email I sent you?
You sent me an email, Tom.
I sent you an email. I sent you an email about the ball player from Cuba, who, by the way, seven letters in his last name, but he's not Ray Sanchez, who was another person. It's Ray Ordonez, second baseman for the New York Mets. His wife had been awarded $1.50 a month in child support.
That must be a lot in Cuba.
Well, imagine the surprise when his wife moved to Miami and said she needed like $8,000 a month.
Yeah, there you go. She finally came to her
up from $1.50. So you can imagine how that went.
Excellent.
Yes. Well, we continue here with Mark in Seattle on the Tom Likas Show for Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Oh, my God. My question is so much shorter than that last caller's. It's like almost a yes or no answer. So
okay,
let me try to find another way to let me try to find another way to contribute to the content, Kitty, here. The last time I talked to you was in early 2002 when you were on the Buzz FM here in Seattle. And
right.
I called up, and I think I got Dino as the screener, and the first words out of my mouth were, "I got my girlfriend pregnant." And as you might imagine, I could almost picture Dino in a tux or whatever, you know, like a maitre d' pointing right this way.
Of course.
And he put me right on the air. I will call back later at a more appropriate time and give you an update on that situation. But for now, my question is for Adam about the DUI laws here in Washington State, because I believe you said you were licensed to practice in Washington.
Yes, of course.
Awesome. So I did a little bit of research about the whole thing, and just to preface it, I've never had a DUI. Don't intend to. I've done the math. And to help your listener to throw out some interesting little numbers for your listeners, just from yesterday for in a Monday sort of capacity, if you think about the cost of a DUI at about $10,000, if you take that money, my average Uber ride is right around $10 for the area I
live. Yes, Uber is definitely a much better deal.
Actually, Lyft is a better deal than Uber. I'll throw that out there, too, because you're going to get the same driver. It's based on proximity, so most of the drivers drive for both of them, and Lyft is about 10% cheaper, so just to throw it out there. But I use both of them. I use Uber, and the drivers use both of them, so just go with the cheaper one. But and there's Sidecar, too. I haven't tried them. But anyway, if you think about it, for an average $10 a ride, that's 1,000 Lyft rides or Uber rides. For the cost of one, at least, I'm sure it's more than $10,000 now for your average DUI. So if you add that up, if you actually take that $10,000 and invest it at a 5-10% rate, at the rate I use Uber, that would actually pay for all my Uber rides for free.
Okay, was that your legal question?
Not exactly
there
a
is.
Question.
So
there's no yeah, doubt
no, no,
about
but,
it.
But, let, by the way, let me point out that the guy who called in almost 3 minutes ago to make his comment and commented about the length of the last caller's call has spent 3 minutes talking about how much money he could save by taking Uber and hasn't
right.
gotten
okay,
to the question
sir.
Yet.
So the question is, when you get pulled over, your advice about refusing the breathalyzer and requesting a blood test, when I looked into Washington State, it seems that there's the statute simply says you cannot refuse a breathalyzer under any circumstances or automatic suspension of your license. And I was just wondering, how does that apply here in Washington?
No, it's the same rule in Washington. You do not have to do the breathalyzer. The breathalyzer is not considered very scientific, and it's been challenged all over the country. And I stand by that. I tell people, you do not do the breathalyzer. You insist on going back. I got a call from a guy this week on a DUI matter, listener of the Likas show, who did the breathalyzer at a checkpoint, and he blew .08. Now, that's really a shame because that's over the threshold, so that's a real problem for him. But if he had insisted on a blood test, in the hour or two that it would have taken to get him to the hospital and to give the blood test, his body would have metabolized more of the alcohol, and he probably would have been .07 or .06, thus under the legal threshold. There's just no excuse. There's no reason to do it. You know, with respect to what you're talking about Uber and so forth, I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, and this had happened with several celebrities, Britney Spears and Lindsay Lohan, they were getting arrested all the time for DUI and accidents and all. And you ask yourself, someone with that much success and money, why didn't they have a private car? Why didn't they have a driver? You know, I mean, there's no excuse. And, you know, in today's new situation with this Uber and Lyft and so forth, I mean, it's so economical. It's so easy to use. You know, in a city like Los Angeles was not like Manhattan where you could hail a cab. Getting a taxi or getting a ride was a big deal. Now it's not. And you go on your phone, it's got the GPS, you push the button, and the car comes within a few minutes. So you're absolutely right. It's a much better deal. And if it's $20 or $30 or whatever, it's obviously much less than the cost of the fines and legal help and everything else with DUI. And yet, a city like Los Angeles has 200 to 300 DUI arrests every day. That's hard to believe. But people don't learn, I guess.
Unreal. Well, I appreciate you clarifying that because I heard you talking about it, but from when you search it on the net, it looks like in Washington that there's never any mention of a blood test. So I appreciate you. I assume I can call you and tell them you're my lawyer if I ever get in that situation,
no,
which I won't.
I understand you're just speaking speculatively that you've never been arrested,
right.
And I'm glad. So I hope you never do.
Good luck, Mark. Thank you. I didn't put him on hold. He'd be longer than the last call.
Excellent.
Michael in Las Vegas. You're our last caller this hour with Adam Sachs.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I need some help.
For sure.
I sell some stuff on eBay, kind of on the side to make extra money.
I do that
my
too
wife
sometimes.
Had a ring. Yeah, my wife had a ring that she won at work, but it wasn't her style, so she's like, sell this. I listed it. It sold for just under $400, even though the original retail price was like $1,500. And then the person I sent it to, when they received it, they sent me an email and said, oh, this is like counterfeit. I don't want this. You know, you're trying to sell me counterfeit.
Okay.
I want a refund.
Okay.
So I said, okay, fine. And I said, fine. I don't want to deal with this person. I to pay the and.
But, hello?
No, not doing so good.
No.
Well, what I think he was saying, if I'm going to speculate.
Yeah,
are we getting
Adam, I know what he said real quick. I told him his phone was crappy. He had to walk outside and do all this stuff. Basically, he sold something on eBay. The seller, the purchaser said that he had thought the item was not real. It was fake.
It was counterfeit.
It was counterfeit,
yeah,
piece
right.
of jewelry.
Right.
And he refunded their money immediately, and he did not get the product back in
right.
return. And that's what happened.
All right. The way it works on eBay, and this has changed over time, the original thing that eBay had you do was get a postal money order and mail it to make payments. Then the PayPal was started by our good friend Elon Musk, by the way, of Tesla fame, and that they ended up buying PayPal. eBay, you know, owns PayPal now. And so the services are completely merged together. When someone buys something and you send it to them, if they don't like it, eBay gives them a lot of rights to return it. But the PayPal transaction that you did with them gets frozen essentially into like an escrow. And then they have to provide a tracking number. And when the item gets back to the seller, that's when they get their refund. So you have to do it through the eBay system. And then it makes sure that you get your item back. It doesn't really pay to fight with people. You want people to be happy on eBay because they're going to give you a good rating. You don't want to have negative comments. So if someone's not happy with your item, you don't fight with them. You say, okay, send it back. And you give them this process where when you receive it, you get the refund to them. They get their money back. And then you just auction it again. I'm not exactly sure what this guy did, but it sounds like he did some kind of a payment transaction outside of eBay, or he, you know, used PayPal, but he gave the guy the refund too soon or something like that. And it's very important to hold back on that and make sure that it's part of the process where they have to enter their tracking code of the package that they're sending back to you, and eBay actually tracks it. And then when you receive it and you say it's okay, that's when he gets the refund. And the money, meanwhile, you don't even have it. It's being held by eBay in like an escrow by PayPal. So,
by the way, I should point out that eBay tells you repeatedly not to do business outside of the eBay system. Do not agree to anything. No, don't agree to anyone's demands. Don't do anybody any favors. Because you never know when it's that king of Nigeria who's buying things from you.
One of the classic things that they do, and this is especially on Craigslist, Tom, more so than eBay, is you'll sell a laptop, let's say, for $1,000, and they'll give you a check for $3,000. And they'll say, you know, I couldn't run this through my bank. If you can just cash it, send me the laptop, and then send me the $2,000, you can keep an extra $200 or whatever.
Right.
And it turns out that the check is, you know, fraudulent, and you end up getting screwed, you know?
Right.
And the way checks clear nowadays, because of the new regulations, the money may hit your account, and it looks like the check cleared, because bank has to give you the funds right away, but then the check may actually not officially bounce for several more days. So you think you've gotten the money clear, you send it to this other, you know, con artist, and then the check bounces, and you get stiff for the whole thing.
By the way, the other thing is that eBay guarantees you your money back.
If you use
eBay. And in a case like this guy, eBay, yes.
No, but you have to stay in their system, that's the thing.
Right. Right. So, in other words, if the guy demanded his money back, you tell him, all right, let's contact eBay and let's do this according to the book.
They call that the resolution center is what they call that.
Right. You don't send money to people like that unless eBay, you know. And by the way, how did this guy pay for this item? Did he pay on eBay? Did he pay with a credit card? Who even knows?
Right.
But the point is that if you, by the way, if the guy paid with a credit card, you could always dispute the charge. You could always have the credit card company get involved. But, you know, you're going to get in a lot of trouble on eBay if you do things outside of the eBay system.
Right. And by the way, it's very common when I list something that I immediately get letters from people who say, if you just end the auction now, I'll give you $600 cash or whatever. And that's always screwing around with you. You want to stay with eBay. And generally, like you say, in terms of payments, like I said before, you want to use PayPal because that's connected to eBay now because they own the company.
Right.
So they're sort of merged services. And so it's all uniform. So if there's a return, it all gets connected where, you know, they track it and then they return it and they cancel the auction. So it's much more organized if you just sort of go along with the way they want you to do it.
Right. All right, we thank him for the call. Adam, tell everybody again how they can get in touch with you.
Well, like I said, toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. Also check me on Facebook, by the way. And you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. And you know Adam Sachs is here every Tuesday doing a bonus hour. And if you're listening to a replay of the show or you're listening on demand, but you want to call and talk to Adam, you do that next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app
now. 901.
1-800-951-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
What's wrong with that?
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription on the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
You better believe it.
Beer Magazine. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania man robbed a bank using a vibrator.
You have to give him points for originality.
Yeah, he led people to believe it was a bomb. He just had a vibrator under...
It worked.
Under his shirt.
Kind of.
He attached some phone cables to the vibrator mm-hmm. with some duct tape.
give me your money and an orgasm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Our friend's the best. He showed up with a fucking cucumber-like vibrator.
Sure. Aaron Stein wound up confessing to the robbery, claimed he never had a real bomb. Unwilling to trust his word, police called in a bomb squad. And finally, they opened the trunk, found the vibrator.
There it is. I wonder if they had to blow it up. You know, when they find it, then they have to blow it up.
Yes. Stein faces felony charges for aggravated assault, robbery, threatening to use a weapon of mass destruction. It's a fucking vibrator.
Yeah, but they got to treat it like, you know, that's the whole thing.
He's also busted for possession of a facsimile weapon of mass destruction.
Well, what the fuck is that? All right. I'm sure our... fuck it.
In Edmonton, Canada, it's child exploitation charges after an Edmonton man posed as a professional photographer to take photos of a 16-year-old girl in the nude. You got to see your boy's fucking pic. William Swanson is something else. Uh-oh. Man down.
Swanee.
Swanee was arrested on May 26th following two separate investigations.
Yeah.
36-year-old posed as a photographer and befriended the young 16-year-old girl. Took nude pictures of her.
That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah. Apparently an aspiring teen model.
Well, yeah. He wanted to help. Mm-hmm. He's helped the wrong way.
Yeah. Pretty awesome stuff. Miley Cyrus says she's gender fluid. That's right.
What?
Yes.
What's that mean?
I don't know.
She's making this up.
What? Gender fluid. It has nothing to do with any body parts of me.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
That's what
she's...
You know what? I have the answer. She's runned out of things to say. Runned it out.
She says, I'm just equal. I'm just even. It has nothing to do with any body part.
Dude, her...
Or how I dress,
I like
or how
way
I
she
look.
Because she's out of her mind. She run around, put the pasties on, and now this.
And now she thinks she's black.
And now this. She's fluid neutral gender something.
Yeah, she's really lost it this time.
I like the way she thinks, though. She's very clever.
Man, that Ellen Nordegren's got the life. She got rid of fucking Tiger Woods. She got $100 million in a fucking divorce. She got a place out in the Hamptons. She's apparently
she's
doing sex on the beach shots with her girlfriends. She's thrilled.
She's hot as shit.
She stepped in shit. Look at her. God damn what a piece of ass she is.
And you know what's so funny is Tiger got so sick of it, he went off with, like, you know, 15 plus different broads.
Yes.
But he got tired of it.
Mm. So now she just spends her time at the beach with these broads. They drink. They appear to be celebrating something. Maybe the fact that Tiger fucked up that Lindsey Vonn thing. So they do shots.
By the way, she's brilliant because she is a psychology graduate. She made all the right decisions. Yes.
Finally, a pick alert for you. Check out Kate Hudson in Greece. She posted a picture of herself on Instagram laying in a bikini. It's kind of like a nude-colored bikini. She's got a hell of a body.
Well, I know. She always had a great ass, like her Mondo's, too, but Yeah, I
right. I mean, she just
else.
Like mom. She inherited the small tits, but
you know, yeah, but the legs and her ass right. are really good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, let's give her a little credit.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Brand new show for you every single Friday. Just go to GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today and enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.
give me your money and an orgasm.